CliffCentral.com. This is the Leadership Transformation Platform, 12 to 3 every Monday. And it's specifically on a Monday to inspire you to do better the rest of the week. We know life works in cycles, days, weeks, months, and years. So we are excited to hopefully inspire you as a leader, inspire you as a small business owner every single week on a Monday. Today, in association with USB Ed, we've got our special guest here, Colleen Lightbody, international speaker on the subjects of neuroleadership and personal development. She's MD of Neuroleadership Group SA and owner of Brainwise, a coaching and learning organization, and of course often referred to as, she is referred to as the Brain Guru. So we've had a neuro kind of leadership guy in here, Marnie Bosman. Do you know him?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yeah, he was here and we had an interesting conversation around those principles. But welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Adrian. Great to be here.
Of course, Richard Angus.
Good to have you. Hi, Adrian. Thank you.
Hi.
CEO of the finance team and a man with great experience in the corporate environment and also now on his own. He deals with leaders all the time and the real issues of running your own small business. So that makes it authentic. Yeah, so today, last week, let me just remind our listeners, last week we spoke on, what was the, procurement?
Procurement.
Planning and sourcing.
Planning and sourcing, yeah, how we get that right.
So we got
critical part of your business, getting it right.
We should tweet that more. I actually didn't tweet that enough. We must send that podcast out there. But today, self-knowledge, self-worth, self-confidence. I have some thoughts on one of those, but yeah, Richard, take us through it.
Yeah, so I mean, those subjects, you know, when you listen to those statements, I think everybody goes self what, but they're a critical part of the, let's call it the fabric or the asset base that an entrepreneur starts with in terms of a business, and probably more important than just the startup business, it's what actually keeps you going, because it's that second, what I call the second wall that you hit. You know, you've started the business, it's moving in a direction, and then you hit that, you know, the growth spurt, and you get through that, and then you just seem to almost, I guess, almost run out of steam in some cases, and you've got to kind of break that wall and make that second change happen. And in my mind, I guess that's where a lot of these let's call them entrepreneurial assets or traits become part of a conversation. So, Colleen, just how do we define those words? You know, they're quick words that we use so easily. You know, self-knowledge, self-worth, and self-confidence. They're not the same thing. They're not the same descriptors. What are we talking about when we talk about those three elements?
Okay, so Richard, I love the fact that you use the word assets, because these are really the foundational assets that we need to progress with as we develop our businesses, as we develop as leaders. And I think the foundation really is self-knowledge. And it's not just about who am I and what I can do, but it's what do I stand for in the world? What am I passionate about? What are my values? What is my core being? And very few people actually spend the time to really assess that and really think about it. But from this perspective of understanding who I am, then people can move into building self-worth. What am I? What do I stand for? What am I? What? How do I hold my value? How do I honor myself and who I am in the organization, in my progress as a business person? And then, of course, self-confidence is how do I do that? How do I hold myself and trust myself and trust my values, trust my judgments moving forward.
So I mean, why the relevance? I mean, if you look at each of those elements, just let's build a bit of a model in terms of how do those elements connect with each other. I mean, you've acknowledged and said yes, you do believe it is an assets. How do people use these different parts, and is there a causal connection between them, and how do you connect them in as you work through life as a business person?
So that's an interesting question, the causal and the connection. Really, I suppose the key word here, and it's a bit of a popular term at the moment, it would be around being authentic. Mm-hmm. And then allowing that authenticity to drive who you are, both as you motivate other people, as you drive yourself, motivate yourself, as you sell your product.
Yeah, we're going to be talking a lot about that in the second half hour. So how do you make that authentic? So you're saying that's connected in this world of knowledge and understanding self.
Well, I think when you're able to be authentic, you're able to be present with conviction. You're also able to make decisions when it's difficult. There are difficult decisions to make. You're able to influence other people and motivate other people.
Through a genuine engagement.
Through a genuine engagement.
As opposed to what I always say, the spin. You know, I say it, but I don't really know it and I don't really feel it, but I'll say it anyway because that's what's going to get you to buy from me.
And people can pick it up. People know whether it's body language or whether it's energy or whether it's tone of voice. People can really pick up when you don't believe in yourself, you don't believe in your product. And so it's really important to do this kind of self-awareness assessment. Be conscious of who you are and how you're presenting as opposed to just doing something.
And I think the reality is out there today, most people can see when something's just being spun along. I mean, somebody the other day made a very valid and true comment to me. She said, you know, I don't need to be spun. I've been a spin doctor for many years. I can see spin as it happens.
People are smart and even intuitively.
And the consumer and the customer base out there has become so much more engaged and enlightened that perhaps what flew a few years ago no longer flies. People can, you know, I'm always amazed when I go somewhere and somebody makes a statement that is perhaps a little bit provocative or, you know, a little out there. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I've noticed people instantly will grab a, you know, the phone gets turned over and you can see they're about to Google whatever it was. And the reality is, it's, I'm only a Google away from confirming what you've just said is a fact.
Exactly.
You can't spin people, you know, the way you perhaps could create this perception that wasn't reality in years gone by. And in fact, the moment you do that, your credibility suffers hugely because while you're still in the engagement, somebody's already validated and checked and they know you're not genuine. So yeah, that's scary.
Can I just, a reminder, we've got SMEs sitting there, people who are the young Elon Musks of life and so on. So if they have any questions, then they're welcome to address the panel. More particularly Colleen Lightbody today from USB Ed, but they must pitch their business when they do. So I don't know if you know about that, Colleen. The rule here is if you're an SME and you want to engage the panel, you've got to pitch your business for 30 seconds. And we've had some pretty awful pitches in the past. So that's why we brought in an expert to teach them. No, I mustn't put pressure on them. But I mean, it can be easy for me running my small little business to think, what does self-knowledge, self-worth, and self-confidence have to do with my little business? I'm just surviving. It's a life quality decision I've made. It's a, I just want to work for myself. I want to be independent. You think that's what's driving you. But this morning on the treadmill, I'm watching and listening to an interview with Elon Musk. So he's on my mind. And I sensed a real confidence there. Not arrogance. Could that be because he has a good self-knowledge and sense of self-worth, and then it comes together to a real self-confidence, although the word self-confidence we can challenge. I don't like that word so much. But as opposed to arrogance, someone who's arrogant, just maybe the other two foundation blocks aren't there. My self-knowledge is not that clear or that intense or accurate, and I'm overcompensating for a lack of self-worth. I don't know. I'm just wondering, is that what one senses? Or we have the Celsius CEO sitting here who had a meal with Mark Zuckerberg. Is that right? The founder of Facebook?
Zuckerberg, yeah.
Zuckerberg. And he also sensed, as a youngster, younger than most of the people around the table, but he listens. And he senses, he takes in what people tell him.
Mm-hmm.
And others would easily see him as arrogant, I guess, just because he's so successful. That's just by default. So, but that's not his impression. His impression is he listens.
Yes.
So again, you feel there's a self-confidence, a real self-confidence there. Is it because it's on the foundation block again of self-knowledge and self-worth? So is that, do you think, what the difference is between someone with arrogance and someone with true self-confidence or self-worth?
Well, I think, okay, going right the way back to self-knowledge again. Self-knowledge is an awareness of who I am, both the good and the bad, the strong and the not so strong. Mm. It's a realistic assessment of who I am. When that goes awry, that's when people become arrogant, narcissistic, egotistical.
Yeah.
But it's gone wrong. And then on the other end of the scale, it goes wrong when people think I'm worthless, I'm useless. There's nothing that I can do that is right. So this is about a balanced assessment. And this is about owning the good and the bad, but then honoring the good. It's about leveraging off my strengths, actualizing what it is that I am capable of and what's useful, as opposed to focusing on what is negative and not useful.
I mean, if you're an SME, you really can sense someone's got a quiet, solid, irrevocable, foundational belief and confidence in what they're doing and what they're presenting and who they are and what they're trying to do, as opposed to someone who's kind of running an unauthentic life and just doing it to make money. We all need that, but that you really sense a difference.
The heart.
You really sense the heart. You really do. And I like that. I often wonder about myself. Do I have enough heart? Maybe I'm not convincing enough because I'm not convinced. And then go back to who am I? What's my purpose in life? Where am I going? So that I can come across as authentic. Sorry, Richard.
Mm. No, but you raise a question now, or you made a statement. You say, so what is your purpose in life? So, I mean, let's connect now the concept of self-knowledge and self-worth with the principles of purpose and passion, because we've spoken about purpose and passion in previous shows. But how do you connect those two? I mean, how do you make sure that authenticity and that knowledge of oneself actually connects with passion and purpose?
Well, I guess the statement that why am I here in this world? What was I put here to do? Really is about how do I leverage off what I know, who I am, and then put that into some kind of a purposeful or objective or business perspective, even a relational perspective. So it's intricately intertwined. Is that sense of purpose is about honoring your truth, your values, your strengths, your wisdom, and then leveraging off that. And it's not easy. Most people don't live a life of purpose. It's not easy to stand up and say, this is what I stand for, and I'm going to stick by that, and I'm going to play it and honor it. Yeah. So it takes courage, and it takes self-control. It takes discipline. This is not a soft skill, actually. Yeah.
And I mean, my experience is often if you say, so what is your purpose to an individual? They look at you. Often people will look at you, if they haven't thought this through, they'll look at you and they'll give you some benign answer. You know, I'm here to work to make money, or and you go, no, what makes you who you are and what you're about? And when you start asking those questions, sometimes, I mean, I've had a few people with a look of horror going like, I don't know if I want to answer that question almost. It's almost like, you know, can I fail this question or can I fail this test? Because I don't actually know, because I haven't. I've got so caught up. I often say it's like, you know, being caught up in the hamster wheel, and the wheel's turning, but the hamster's asleep. You know, it's like, what's going on here? You know, why is this connection not? And that's where people, I always talk about, it's a little bit like they check out, they come to work with, or they come into any environment with their body and perhaps even their mind, but their heart and their soul are checked out. And you kind of wonder, you know, as I look across the room at the guys in my team who are working with me, you kind of go, sure, you know, is everybody actually, you know, they're all at work, or they're all part of my team and we're doing this project or whatever it may be, but are we all connected? Are we all here with one purpose and one outcome? So
we've got a question from the floor.
Okay, let's take a question from the floor.
Just before, Louis, you wanted to say something and then we'll go to the floor. Yeah. Go for it.
One principle I feel passionate about is the principle of nourishment, body and soul. And all of nature teaches you that if you don't nourish yourself, you die. And this is very important. So I'd like you to comment in due course about the ways of nourishing these foundational assets which you spoke about, which makes very much sense. But how do you nourish it? Because we don't, and you just focus so much on your business as such, you will fade. You will lose that passion and the conviction.
All right, okay, so let's go to our studio audience.
Hi there. My name is Amanda Blankfield Kossoff, and I run an organization called Empowervate Trust. I'm trying to talk loudly. And the organization is an NGO. We work in youth development in schools across the country. And we work in partnership with the Department of Education. Our goal is to make sure that the next generation of young people are active citizens, people who are empowered and skilled, so they can make positive changes in their communities where they are. So that is what our business does, and how we do it is we offer a toolkit that explains exactly step-by-step project management as well as business skills. And we work in schools mainly in rural areas and peri-urban areas, as well as ex-Model C schools. Okay. And then we have a showcase event, like a competition at the end of it, to encourage them and to acknowledge the amazing work that they've done, and also to help them to go forward and to improve on their projects. How you can contact us is we have a website, www.empowervate.org, or on Facebook as well, Empowervate, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, we're everywhere.
Empowervate. Let me put me back on there. Empowervate. Okay, do you have a question or a comment for the panel or for Colleen?
My question for the panel is, I do understand the self-confidence versus arrogance question, but then also what I find as well is if you come across too excited about what you're doing and you oversell it, people also get put off. So you have to have like a balance between the two, and that's what I'm trying to learn, because I get so excited and passionate about things, and sometimes people just like, hold on, why is she like trying to oversell to us? But it's not that, it's just that I really believe in what I'm doing. So how do you get the balance?
I want to put the word out there, consciously passionate. Does it make sense? Some people are so passionate they get lost. They lose track of time. They're waffling on for 10, 15, 20 minutes and the person in front of them want to engage them. So maybe engaging passion. There's lots of words you can put in front of passion, but you've got to be consciously passionate and be present. And maybe you're adding different qualities there. You're passionate about your product or your service, but you've got to be passionate about those people. And if you are, then you'll actually listen to them. You're not just passionate about yourself and your product and service. So that's a quality we must learn, is to be passionate about the people in front of us. Any comments, Colleen?
No, I think you used the word consciously and present really wisely, because it's when we become unconscious that we start just listening to ourselves and our own excitement. Hmm. It's about wanting to project that excitement, but in a real sincere and authentic way.
Self-knowledge comes in. How do I gain self-knowledge about the fact that I'm a bit overpassionate, that I'm not consciously passionate or present when I'm passionate? Mm. So I have to ask people, if you take an employee with and ask them, listen, how did I do there? Was I too passionate? Be honest and open with me. Now, remember, people aren't honest first time around. Mm. They say what they think you want to hear, if you're their boss especially. But you've got to then really probe so that you can gain self-knowledge and then do better and be more confident and build your self-worth. Coming back to the theme today.
And part of that self-knowledge is being aware of what are your biases, what are my blind spots,
correct,
what am I not aware of. So a self-confident or self-assured person will be open to that kind of feedback.
Okay, Louis and Richard, and then we'll move on.
sorry. Amanda, I just want to emphasize the point also that Ari made. I suffer from being too passionate about things, and I've often oversold myself on principles, etc. Now, but when you engage, you don't apologize ever for your passion. But when you engage and you respond to other person response, then suddenly your passion starts being relevant. So engage. Mm. Don't give a lecture. Don't just tell people what to do, but engage. And obviously the passion you have will then, most people, if they contribute, we find the leadership conversations, if people contribute and they're part of it, that's when behavioral change happens. Mm. So engage while you convey your passion.
Okay, Richard, very quickly, and then just move on.
Just one comment that I always say, being the accountant and having good self-knowledge, apply the ratio, 2 ears, 1 mouth. When you engage, often people try and engage and tell something to somebody out there. If you've got good self-knowledge, you're comfortable about where you're at, and that comes through. Take less time to sell and push it out there and listen to what the person on the other side actually needs. Because 9 times out of 10, they don't want to hear what you can do. They want to hear if they can be there can be resolution to the issue that they're dealing with. And often, that solves the I spoke too much scenario.
Okay, so let's continue. Thank you so much for that. You want to throw another question quickly?
Okay. Yes, I just have one more question. Thank you for the feedback. The problem with me as well is that I love talking about it and explaining it and listening to them. I do listen. I'm very good at listening and having relationships. That's great. But closing the deal is where I have the most problem, because I get scared to ask for, okay, now can we talk about funding? Let's go to that point. So people agree with it. They love it. They buy into it. But then when it comes to getting the funding, that's when things get a bit more challenging.
Amanda, I'll just say this. We've got to move on. Time is always the essence here. You cannot run your own little business if you're scared of asking. You've got to ask for business. You've got to ask for money. You've got to ask for favors. You've got to ask. Asking is so inherently part of what you do when you're a small business owner. And I see a lot of people failing because they're not willing to ask the big boy, the big client, for the money that's over 30 days due. So, and then that's just at the end of the value chain. Mm. And then, in fact, no further, you've got to ask for more business. So asking is a skill that you have to really focus and never be shy. And if you're so passionate about something and you're just scared to ask, then people might subconsciously wonder, okay, well, does she really believe in it? Mm. Because they expect you're going to ask for money. You're going to ask for... So asking is a hugely important thing. All right, let's... You talk about measurement of self-worth and we're going to touch on that.
So, I mean, one of the key things that I have in my mind is, okay, so how does one assess this world of, you know, self-knowledge? You know, do you know who you are? And I mean, I've seen these lovely tests that are out and about. You know, I'm an ENTP, INTJ on the Myers-Briggs, whatever. I'm a red, I'm a yellow, I'm a purple, I'm a pear, I'm an orange, I'm a whoever in the, you know, in whatever matrix people are using. What's your view on these, let's call them personality and character type tests that are often used around the world of self-knowledge and self-worth and to tell you, you know, people often go, well, I need to do a test to know who I am.
Great. So I'm a little controversial about this, perhaps. But
okay, let's go there. Uncensored. Okay.
I do believe, and as you say, there's a plethora of tests, both reliable, valid tests like the Myers-Briggs, as well as your pop quizzes that you get in Cosmopolitan magazine. These things are great for building self-awareness and also taking the time to be consciously think about who I am. My problem with tests is that human beings tend to love to categorize themselves and label themselves as, like you say, an ABC or a red. And I think where these tests need to be undertaken with awareness and consciousness, and also not underestimating the capacity that a human being has to change. Okay, people now think they're born to be a certain way.
Now, that's something that I find quite interesting, because when I do, for example, a Myers-Briggs test, as an individual, I generally come out with, and the E and the I is the extrovert, introvert. But anybody who most people who know me would say that I'm an extrovert. Mm. Yet, if you actually know me really, really well, you'll actually know I'm by character, actually an introvert. But I've learned to be an extrovert because I needed to be an extrovert to make certain things happen in my life. Yet, and people say, but you can't be an introvert. And I said, well, and I describe a situation of how I behave as an individual that an extrovert just would not be able to do. And I'm quite happy to do that on a regular basis. And people turn around to me and they go, oh, okay. Now, if you do that, if you can do that, and you don't have a problem with an energy loss, and you actually gain energy from it, I think the definition that people often use is, can I get or do I gain or lose energy from that particular activity? And I go, this I find extremely cathartic and makes me a very happy person. They go, okay, no, there's definitely an introvert thing, but then they can't match me in this extrovert. Mm. So can people change who they are in situations? Does that work? Does that happen?
Well, firstly, I think the way you're describing this is that you do have self-awareness and you've put some conscious thought to it. And that's what it is. It's about being conscious about, okay, this is what is my latent style, but I have a choice. I have an opportunity to engage with a different kind of style of being. And you know, I'm not talking about the brain specifically today, but we know from that concept of neuroplasticity that people are profoundly capable of change. And I've seen people change their temperament from introvert to extrovert, optimist or negative pessimism to a more optimistic kind of viewpoint. So I think if we just engage with the knowledge that we are capable of change, we can leverage off our core truth, what we're born with, but also become more of who we are.
Okay, we've got another question from the floor. And on that point, the truth is, if you're a person who says, I can't sell. Well, put yourself in an SME position and you have to sell and ask. And a few years later, you'll say, gee, I don't know how I can do that and how I came to do that. So you can change. We're not animals. All right. Question from the floor. Pitch your business and throw the question or the comment.
Hi, I'm Rose Kabemba. I'm the owner of Somona Guest House. Somona Guest House is a 3-star graded guest house, ideal for local and international guests. Located in secure area in Parkmore Sandton. We have 7 ensuite bedrooms. Our rates are affordable. They include Wi-Fi parking and home-cooked breakfast. The staff is friendly and always available to assist in making your stay comfortable and memorable. To make your booking, please call 011-784-7149 or send us an email on somonahouse@telkomsa.net.
All right, thank you. We'll talk more about pitching later in the second half of the show in the next few minutes. So, question, comment?
My question is, if I want new staff, how can I make sure that the individual that I'm interviewing has got the same purpose or passion for my business?
And that's a very difficult question. My brief comment to that would be, for what it's worth, that the most unauthentic process in this world is a job interview. I can't think of a more, maybe dating is the next one, for a while anyway, and then the reality comes to the fore. But that's why when you run an SME, you often end up employing people perhaps that you kind of know in your network, because you know their value system, they've been around, it's a family member or a cousin or a friend of a friend. So referral is very, very good, because the people who refer might know your personality. So I think that plays a very good role. The normal interviewing process, in essence, a lot of assessments also happen there. I don't trust it so much.
Yeah, just remember, and we know this from the work that Andrew Butters, pretty much people, gave us, that I can't remember the statistic exactly, but I think it's something like interview, if you just rely on an interview only, you have a failure rate of something like 70% or something as high as that. And I mean, when I saw that, I was like, okay, great. So all of that effort doing interviews, and it's actually pointless. It's absolutely pointless. Because I'm sorry, but 30% pass rate doesn't do it for me. So, I mean, Colleen, what thoughts in terms of how people assess and these assessment techniques?
Because, Colleen, I think if you can drill down to these three principles when you interview someone: self-awareness, self-knowledge, confidence, self-worth. If you can, skills you can teach, you can find out if someone is capable in many respects. But if you can somehow dig into that and get to the real person, it'll be a hell of a breakthrough. I think it's difficult, and that's why people do a lot of psychological assessments, because they think they can get to this underlying motivating issues. Your just quick comment for our SME owners question. It's not an easy one.
It's not an easy one. And I think the essence here is that you do have a vision and you do have a goal in mind for your business, for your SME. And it's about whether that person can connect to your vision. They don't have to be like you. They don't have to have the same qualities or strengths or values as you. But what connection then can they make? And allow that person to share with you what they can contribute and how they can align themselves. But you as the interviewer need to create a compelling reason for them to want to do that, so that they feel free and feel comfortable to be able to share. And it's all about that sharing of the vision, sharing of the purpose, and what connections we can make.
And that's a whole skill which, if you're an SME owner, if you haven't had a lot of management experience in the big corporate where you interview and do a lot of that, then you can run into a lot of traps there, I think. So that's a very important question. And I think references, they can be false. You never really know. But if you know someone well who knows that person, then maybe that helps a great deal. There's so much that one can do in those interviews. But I think we've had a show like this, Richard, about interviewing maybe.
Yeah.
So you can go look at that podcast, and maybe in the future we can talk more about that.
I think it's something, it's not just the interview process that needs to be assessment, but it needs to be an assessment and an engagement around, you know, what is the entire onboarding process and what does that look like.
All right, that's it. All about getting to know yourself, self-knowledge, self-worth, self-confidence, with our special guest today, Colleen Lightbody. Thank you so much, Colleen.
Thank you.
You're staying with us. We're now going into a whole new level. I don't know what the next half hour is going to hold for us. To be very honest, there's been preparations. There's been a lot happening behind the scenes. But next up, it's all about pitching your business. So stay with us. A previous guest of our in the studio here, Claire O'Keefe from Gajima. Miss Sales, you want to say, all about selling and pitching business. And she's going to share some thoughts. She's actually going to give us a lesson on how do you pitch your business. And then we're going to engage the audience. Some of them, I believe, she's engaged, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Stay with us. CliffCentral.com.